Hello and welcome to episode 13, part 4 of the Siblings podcast of the Norton and Hales Cricket Club weekly podcast. Thank you very much for joining, and if you've listened to all three previous parts, you'll be really excited to find out what Mike has to say in this episode, talking about once he'd arrived at Norton and also the current state of league cricket, and we also find out the best players he's played with and against. So stay tuned. Again, thank you very much to everybody on the front line at the NHS, all the care workers, key workers, bin men, retail staff, all that sort of stuff, for making lockdown as bearable as it possibly can be. And stay tuned for the next podcast that we're going to do, as we're going to be featuring a new initiative run by the local cricketing community to raise money for the NHS frontline, which is called Smash the Tash. So stay tuned. See you in a minute.
This is the Norton and Hales Cricket Club podcast.
Welcome to part 4 of episode 13 of the Norton and Hales Cricket Club podcast. This is the Siblings podcast with younger brother Mike. And in part 1, we talked about our introduction to cricket. In part 2, we spoke about our first introduction to senior cricket and kind of how sort of that embedded our thinking from a competitive level. And in part 3, we discussed Pastures New and Mike's time at Barlaston, and before moving on to Norton and kind of experiencing different ways of club life and how that's not necessarily different, it is different but not necessarily wrong, and kind of how people, different contexts and cultures move on. So in part 4, we both started playing at Norton, and Mike in part 3 already talked about, you know, the dozen or so people that play key roles on the committee and kind of what we thought the future held with a few players coming in. So we'd spoken in part 3 about the first season. Zaffa's still at the club. You've had a decent season. You spoke to myself, Chris, and possibly a couple of the bodies coming on board, kind of looking to create something and try and move forward with it, really. What was that winter like after your first season? You know, you said you got busy and you felt involved. You had your best season in a decade. What was that winter like?
I think it was probably the most enjoyable winter I'd had, because, you know, I felt like I'd got a lot to offer the team. I'd got a lot of ideas. I'd played in Division 2 before. You know, I feel like I know the leagues really well. I know what it takes. So the first thing that I did was, you know, said that I thought we needed an overseas professional. I realised that we probably couldn't afford one, so we kind of went for like an overseas amateur and retaining Zaffa, which was important.
Mm-hmm.
So we got in touch with Zach. Zach came over, and, you know, he had a great year. You know, for all of his faults and you know, his dodgy wicket keeping. You know, at times with the ball, he did as a job. You know, and with the bat at times, especially his knock at Road Park later on in the year. You know, he did have a great season. I think he ended up with 600 runs in the league, which for, you know, I know he's overseas, but he was an amateur player, you know, is a good return, really, especially, you know, playing on some questionable wickets as well. So, you know, he did a really good job. Obviously, we got Zaffa just did what Zaffa does, you know, never stopped running in. Obviously, we got hold of Jack Furnival as well, who, for me, you know, he's still young with the right, you know, the right mentality and the right push behind him. I still think he could be very, very dangerous cricketer at any level, really. You know, he's got all the attributes. And I think, you know, we just moulded a team that was, I'd say we were still probably one or two light from what I would have wanted. But I felt like we'd got the basis of a team that could get promoted. And I think we fell short by about 3 points on the last game, on the last day of the season, which, you know, kind of proved me right. And I think if we'd have had slightly better availability as well, I think we've, you know, we would have found ourselves playing in Division One. You know, so yeah, it was really good year and really proud of what we did. I think people started to take Norton and Hale seriously as well. We were a decent outfit. Yeah, and it was just, you know, that time of, I think, you know, it was a good battle that we had with Bagnall Norton as well, around that time, and just seeing people like it, you know, watching Eddie Warrington put on 100 nod with me, smashing 70, you know, hitting Greg Willett onto the clubhouse, and, you know, things like that, they stay with you, because, you know, when you're up against it and people go and do things and you think, you know, really, really pleased for that individual. Those are the things that's, you know, those are the reasons you play cricket, really.
Yeah, that's what we said on a few podcasts now. It's the thing that separates it. You know, those moments aren't just one moment. They're kind of a series of moments put together to create, you know, a knock and an innings and various different things like that. In terms of that sort of win thing, because obviously, you know, we'd only just narrowly missed promotion, and then obviously the infrastructure side of things sort of came back to sort of haunt the club, rightly or wrongly. It's not really for us to discuss, bygones with bygones and sleeping dogs lie, but obviously we had to move back to Division 3. What was that sort of winter like? You had a lot more involvement than that than I did. I hadn't really got involved in the club at the time, but I know it was quite an interesting winter, to try and keep people motivated and stay on track.
Yeah, it was a dodgy time, really. Obviously, we got relegated because we didn't have enough junior teams. I still felt aggrieved by that because they hadn't let us know at the start of the season. So obviously, you know, we'd put money aside for Zaffa, and we'd gone to the expense of having an overseas amateur. And if we knew that we were going to get relegated anyway, we could have perhaps planned for a season of struggling and save the money to come back, really. But, you know, that being said, you know, it was a tough winter. You know, Zaffa left us because we were dropping down the league, and he went to Hemheath. I just felt like it was a tough pill to swallow, really, that happening to us at that time, because, you know, we were on a good roll. Like I say, finished 3 points off getting promoted to Division One, and it was just a bit of a kick in the teeth with no warning coming, and it wasn't as though we weren't trying. You know, people had done the coaching courses, we had got kids up there, we just hadn't managed to get a side yet. So, you know, from the Stone League to that happening was kind of 18 months. So yeah, it was a bit, I felt like it was a bit of a tough punishment, but obviously we took it, went down, and, you know, ended up coming back up again, which, you know, I can't fault anybody's efforts for, really.
I know it was a really good season at Division 3, because, you know, the Bagnall Norton side that's now obviously got a Premier League berth, we'd actually beat them in that season. We'd actually won the division, and they'd only just popped up at the expense of Endon, really. So to show how much of a unit we were at that time was kind of a really impressive sort of season to put together, and that was the first season I'd really sort of concentrated and said that, you know, I wanted to get back in, because I felt aggrieved and put a shift in to say I'll play, you know, a decent number of games, and started sort of finding a love for the game again, really. It was kind of, and again, that's when the infectiousness of the club and what everybody else was trying to achieve, obviously with a bit of sense of purpose, kind of rang true, really. In terms of, we'll go back to sort of last season, obviously, because, you know, it's the first year really of having the academy in full tilt and with a big push, and they'd kind of had a good good thing. Both teams sort of finishing up as runners-up and various things, and loads of different things going on behind the scenes at the club. What was your sort of overall thoughts of last season as a review of it, really?
I think, you know, again, started the season with high hopes. You know, we've got a decent group of players together. I mentality killed us a little bit. I think we've talked about it a few times, but I think we went to Leeds at halfway through the season with probably four or five people that I would call first team players.
Mm-hmm.
And he kind of knocked the stuffing out of us a little bit. We've been on a good run, and that kind of put a bit of a stop to it. Just a bizarre week where five or six people are all on holiday on the same week. I think we ended up getting bowled out for 50, and they knocked it off for six or seven. And you just know that if those players were there on that day, we'd probably come out with a better result. Those are the things that stick in the memory. But it was still a good season. We had plenty of good games. I think most pleasing is that in plenty of games, we're now racking up scores. In the first few years that I played at Norton Ailes, it was all about the bowling. If we got 150, 160, we thought we were in the game. This last couple of seasons, we've regularly scored over 200, which is, promising signs, really. It's just building on that now and just constantly trying to improve the side. But, I think where we're at is kind of, I think we're massively overachieving, but I think we could, still go a little bit further than we are now.
Yeah, definitely. And obviously the current season's sort of completely definitely for a foreseeable furlough period. How's the winter at the club gone? Cause I know you've kind of definitely got a bit more involved again over the winter and various different things. Where do you feel that the club is at the minute in terms of from an aspirations point of view and where you feel we could be or improve?
Club's in a great place. We've wintered well. We've had perhaps 12 signings. We've obviously lost our brother Chris to Blythe, and that'd be a good challenge for him as well. But I think the club's going in the right way in terms of, I spoke about the committee, that's getting stronger and stronger each day that goes by. We're working on the clubhouse and the grounds and the facilities and things like that. It's constantly being talked about in meetings, so we're going in the right place there as well. The second team got promoted to Division 6 by default, with teams dropping out of the league, which I think, whilst they've had an indifferent few seasons, I think that's good for them, because, like you say, with the signings that we've had and the numbers that we've got, I think at last count we got somewhere between 45 and 50 players registered. And when you put those best 22 players on paper, the second team will give Division 6 a good run for its money as well. So, we've got a good, strong nucleus of people. It's just about how do you keep them people interested, involved, and not letting people shine too much that other clubs come and pinch, your better players, because we certainly have got players in our side that, are easily good enough to play Division 1 and possibly Premier League as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, good assessment. Right, the important bit. This is where we get to the important questions. So at the end of every guest that we have on the podcast, we ask them six questions. So who's the best sort of players, your best overseas that you played with and against, best paid cricketer, not necessarily an overseas that you played with or against, and the best clubby that you played with or against. I think there's a new term that I've seen you put into this category as well, the badges, as kind of I suppose you could kind of categorize them in. So 12 months or so into the podcast now, I'm sure you've had a bit of thought on this. Who's the best overseas that you've played against?
I've given it a little bit of thought, but not too much. I think I don't want it to be somebody that I've just played a one-off game when I've played for Modishull's first team in the Cup or something like that. I think the best battles that I've personally had over the last couple of years, and the people that I thought, I'd really like them I'd like to captain those players, is probably Asif Raza and Jalak Khan. It's spring to mind, I'd probably go for Jala, just because I think he's probably slightly more likely to get a few more runs as well, which we desperately need at Norton. So yeah, probably Jala Khan, probably edges it just over Asif Raza, but when he's bowling, you know, on his day, he's unplayable, especially to left-handers.
Well, yeah, I mean, one of the biggest things I like about sort of Jarlath is how much needle he's got. That the side that he played at Road Park, he pretty much single-handedly dragged them kicking and screaming some of the standout performances, and he definitely wouldn't go down without a fight. And, you know, it was kind of great to see, because you don't tend to see that, you know, a lot with kind of like a lot of needle and kind of that general willingness to win. Not recently, I don't think, anyway. So, yeah, good choice. So, who's the best one that you've played with? I know there's a few that you've played with that some good names in there.
Yeah, I think, again, don't really want to choose somebody that I've only played like the odd game with. So, on a few of these Facebook polls and things like that, I think, obviously, when you've played with Imran, I think you've played with the best league pro. In terms of him, just watching him bowl. Yeah, you know, I remember when I was playing junior cricket, Imran was umpiring at Kidsgrove. So he was Kidsgrove's pro, and he was umpiring. I think I was 11 or 12 playing at Kidsgrove, and he just had so much enthusiasm and time. I wasn't even playing for his club back then, but he was still coaching me and still trying to offer support. But yeah, fielded short leg for him and batted with him at Old Hill in the cup when we won as well, and just the amount of support that he gives you goes far, and you know, just shows his class really. The other one that stands out was Moeen Ali when we had him as pro. He proed for us at Caverswall one game, started off bowling seam up, didn't go too well. I asked him to try his spin. Yeah, he ended up getting 5 wickets, and then I think he got 60 odd with the bat as well. You know, again, real down-to-earth bloke, proper, decent bloke. And I said to him after, how much do you want for playing? Because Andy Owsley had sorted him out through a coaching friend at Warwickshire. And he said, oh, just give me 50 quid for my petrol money. So, again, just shows the humility and, you know, of that bloke. But I think in terms of people I've actually spent a lot more time with, Abdul Rauf Khan was class for Barlaston. You know, I think on a different wicket, I know how tough it is to bowl seam there sometimes. I think, you know, I would like to see him in his heyday. But the one that stands out the most is probably Ijaz Ahmed. So I'll probably go with Ijaz. Just pure class. Best batter to watch I've seen. Tuk Checkley all around the park. 147 not out. I think one over at Gascar for 5 sixes, and then just got a one off the last ball. And he did that a few times. I think he got 1,000 runs and 50 wickets, and we still got relegated. So just shows the class of him, really. So yeah, I'll go with Ijaz Ahmed.
Okay, cool, good, nice and decisive. Good context to it. So who's the best? Controversial, but who's the best paid cricketer you played against? Sort of, necessarily not be overseas, but somebody you've played as on the local scene.
Yeah, again, I probably haven't played against these two names that I'm going to say as much as I'd like to have. But I'd probably go for James Sellers or Greg Willett. I won't sit on the fence. I'll go Jimmy Sellers. Just again, you know, he's a league bowler, he's right at you all the time. He's always there or thereabouts, you know, trying for wickets, and he can also hit a long ball as well. I think personally I've probably had a few more better battles with Greg, just simply because we've played against each other a bit more. But from, you know, from what I've seen, you know, people like them too, the kind of people, if you are going to pay players, those are the kind of players you want to be paying, really.
Yeah, definitely match winners, both bat and ball, and, you know, never say die attitude, turn up every week and kind of epitomise what you want, really. So I kind of get where you're coming from them. So Who's the best one you played with then? Again, there'll be a few here, obviously. Longton, Barston, Modishell.
Yeah, I think, again, you don't 100% know who's getting paid, especially when you're younger and you're not involved. But two names that stand out for me are probably Ian Carr. Again, I don't even know if he got paid, but, you know, just as far as players, you know, if anybody deserved getting paid, it was definitely him. I've watched him run through sides and get several wickets. When I was a kid at Longton, I watched him bowl Longton out at Longton and remember just thinking he's class. And when I went to Modishell, then I played under him a couple of times on Sunday games in the cup, and he just leads by example. When you're in the same side as him, he's just a really good person to bounce off. Batting, bowling, catching, fielding, you know, he was just the real deal, really. And I think, you know, in a recent poll, again, on the Facebook things, I named Ian as, like, the best captain, mainly because he's the one that I've been captain at a lot of the clubs that I've been at. I have been captained by Scott once, Scott Oliver once or twice, and I think Scott's probably most people's pick for the most, you know, best tactical and, you know, best knowledge of all the teams and, you know, making sure. But I think for how I felt playing under Ian Carr, he was the one that got the best out of me, personally. So I think probably, you know, Ian's right up there. But the one I'm going to go for is Zafar Iqbal. So obviously he played with Zafar at Barlaston and Norton and Ailes, and he's just, you know, I've spoke to a few different people about Zafar when, you know, he's played in the Premier League and things like that, and, you know, won't sit on the fence. Some people have told me they rate him, some people have told me they don't, but, you know, from what I've seen playing with him, he's ran through brick walls. I watched him get 10 wickets against Road Park and an absolute road where he got, you know, I think Jalat in that game got 99. And he just ran through a brick wall. How anybody got one wicket on that deck was amazing. But yeah, to get 10th on that deck, he also got 100 wickets in a season for us, early doors for Norton and Ailes. So yeah, I think, you know, probably just Zafar, just from, you know, from a captain's point of view, really, of just running through a brick wall for you.
Yeah, we'd do. That's the thing. And again, I think just from a batting point of view, he didn't always come off, but he was devastating at times to watch. And you could definitely tell, you know, if you were on the right side of him, or if he knew you got his best interest in heart, he would. He'd run through a brick wall for you, and I'll definitely second that. All right, cool. So final question then. Who's the best sort of clubby or badger you played against? Difficult one, because you actually named in one of these recent polls as well, so.
Yeah, I think my enthusiasm for the game is, you know, I think, you know, lots of people say far outweighs my ability, but, you know, I think it's like anything, you want to try and get ahead in the game, you want to understand who your opposition are, what they're good at, what their strengths, what their weaknesses are. And I learned a little bit of that off Scott Oliver. So I think the biggest badger that I have played against is Scott. His attention to detail, the dossiers he writes on the other team, you know, moving players millimetres in the field with his captaincy. But, you know, it's all for a reason. Scott doesn't do anything that he doesn't need to do. So yeah, definitely Scott. Biggest badger that I've played against, and, you know, real good cricketer as well. You know, even later on when we played against him playing for the A team, he'd open up the batting and cause you a real problem to get out, because he's worked out how that bowler bowls at him and how he's going to counteract that. I think in terms of club men, just to give mentions, I think Chris Green at Norton and Ailes is absolutely ridiculous. You know, the amount of work he puts in, obviously I haven't played against him, but you know, these are the kind of people that need mentioning. And then from a time at Mordechai, Andy Hawkins and Andy Owsley, you know, that's why their club are where they are, really. You know, the amount of time and effort them pair put into Mordechai, that's why, you know, they have got one of the best junior setups, and that's why, you know, they're a club that, you know, a lot of people want to play for.
Yeah, that's understandable. And again, all names that need to be in. Again, obviously Greeny, I think, you know, you were saying there, definitely his enthusiasm for the game, which has been very recent, definitely outweighs his ability. But the hours and the passion and meticulous nature of everything he does, definitely up there. Just before we wrap up, you mentioned obviously dossiers that Scott writes for people. I know I've played against Scott a few times. Have you got any interesting dossiers or information on dossiers that you may have written against teams that? So we had a couple of ding-donging games when I was at All Sager and you were at Mordechai that featured Scott. What sort of content is in these sort of dossiers? How far does it go? Is it very much a case of just stats and figures, or is it just generally sort of plans and sort of tactics?
Bit of everything, mainly plans. Quite often he would have played against these people, or he would have asked several people about this person. So yeah, just, you know, ways that they commonly get out, where the best scoring shots are, things like that. He might give you the odd bit of inside knowledge as to, you know, something non-cricket related, like an affair or something like that to chirp away at when you're in the field and things like that. It was just... yeah, just the fact that somebody could go to those lengths to provide you information on 11 players before the game. And yeah, you know, like I said, I did take a lot of... I've always been like that myself anyway, in terms of, even if you don't know the person, looking at their stats and, you know, right, saying like, this is the big wicket, this is the guy that scores 50% of their runs, or this is the guy that takes the wickets, let's make sure he doesn't get us out. If he doesn't get us out, we're going to win the game. You know, things like that. But I think Scott just took it to that extra level, whether he's gone away and researched it, or whether it's just knowledge of playing against those people so many times. Yeah, he gave the bowler's plans and the batsman plans, really, saying, you know, this is your target. This is the kind of length that this bowler's going to bowl, etc., etc. So, yeah, just the amount of, you know, detail in these documents. Obviously, I didn't play under Scott that much, but I saw these things a few times, and obviously other people have told me about them as well.
Okay, cool. Brilliant. Well, that brings us to the end of the Siblings podcast. Thank you very much for coming on as a guest, and thank you very much for listening to all four parts. If you've liked what you've heard, please like, share, comment, get involved in the discussion online, and tune in next time where we bring you another amazing guest and the Norton and Hales Cricket Club podcast. Thank you for listening.